You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Our next guest, Bruce Patello, remembers a time when youth hostels were a rite of passage. He's one of the founding members of the Juno International Youth Hostel. Hello, Bruce.
Hi there, Shelley. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Thanks for joining us today. And how are you?
Aside from the national developments, personally hunkered down and healthy.
That's great to hear. So let's dive right in. What's the status of the hostel since COVID closed it down?
Well, it's actually been in, one could say, almost cold storage. We have house managers that are continuing to live in the facility, which is at 6th and Harris Streets. But we have not been able to have overnights since the beginning of COVID back in March of last year.
Now, you grew up here in Juneau, and now you're part of one of the founding members of the youth hostel. How were hostels a part of your coming of age, and how did they allow you to see the world?
I was an exchange student from Juneau to Germany in 1966 and 1967, and that was my first exposure to the hosteling movement. I had a chance to bicycle from central Germany to western Denmark and went from hostel to hostel over the course of a couple weeks and saw a variety of facilities, but what they all had in common, very bare bones accommodations. But the great feature of it all was that you had people from around the world who were doing the same thing. They were hiking or they were biking or traveling by train, and you would share hot water, hot chocolate, hot coffee, sit around, talk about your common experiences. Overnight, have a breakfast roll and coffee in the morning and be off again. And that basically captured the spirit of international hosteling and the idea that young people traveling would encounter other people of different countries, nations, and contribute in that way towards both an appreciation of the outdoors, but probably more importantly, an appreciation of international friendship. Mm. And that really is an essential element of the movement today.
So when you came back, you got involved in starting a hostel here. Were those some of the reasons that inspired you to do that?
Well, again, my experience, there were others in Juneau who had similar experiences in Europe and wanted to promote hosteling in Juneau, even in the late 60s, early 70s. I shouldn't say even. People were traveling, particularly making use of the ferry system to look at Alaska. And there were, other than camping facilities, really no inexpensive ways for particularly young people to overnight. And as you've experienced, camping may not be the most exciting thing to do when you're getting deluged by rain, which happens more than once or twice a year here. So long and short, it filled a gap. And I think to some extent, wanting to see Juneau become part of an international movement and provide the opportunity for that interaction and then the opportunity for young people in Juneau to meet with people from other parts of the world.
You're putting a lot of emphasis on young people, and the phrase youth hostel does indeed indicate that there may be an age limit to hosteling. Do you see senior citizens, for example, taking advantage of hostels?
Yes, and I would say we talk about the Juneau International Hostel now, not the Juneau Youth Hostel, and I think it reflects, again, that we are looking again at a broader demographic, people who are looking for an inexpensive accommodation, people who maybe have limited means. The hostel operates on the, among other rules, that no one can stay for more than 5 days. No one from Juneau is permitted to overnight. And it's also limited by hours. That is, when we are operating, it opens at 5:30 in the evening. People are expected to be out and about by 9 o'clock the next morning. When you arrive, you're assigned a chore as part of your contribution to the fellowship of the hostel, as it were, and to its upkeep. And you, again, maybe to say a little more about the hostel, it has accommodations for in dormitorial style for 17 women, 26 men, family of five. There's a commercial kitchen, large living room, commercial washing facilities, lockers for people, and free Wi-Fi, which again, travelers, regardless of how they're coming, are almost always internet connected.
Right. Well, with a little bit of time we have left to chat, I wanted to ask, what's your vision for the future of the Juneau Hostel, the International Hostel, and what kind of help do you need to achieve this?
Well, our goal is, of course, as soon as we have conquered the pandemic, to be able to reopen. We know that there is a pent-up desire for people around the world to travel. And so we expect to be functioning, hopefully during the course yet of this year. The hostel is run by a board of directors, and we are currently looking for individuals who are willing to volunteer their time to serve on the board. We can use people of a variety of skills. Fortunately, one of the things we're not looking for, the hostel is self-sustaining, so it does not involve fundraising, but we need people who have either some accounting background, people who have some familiarity with operating a plant, that is to say, there's upkeep for the facility, being able to make sure that it's in good shape. People are willing to, again, evaluate the rules under which we operate. It's not a heavy burden, but we're hoping that there will be folks in the community who would be willing to volunteer their time. If they're interested, I would point them to two ways to make contact with us. One is by calling 723-9999 or by sending an email to junohostel@gci.net. A hostel spelled H-O-S-T-E-L. Juneau Hostel, all one word, at gci.net.
All right. Bruce Botello, thank you so much for sharing some of your memories and your hopes for Juneau's International Youth Hostel. Again, to get involved, to be on the board, 723-9999 or Juneau Hostel, that's H-O-S-T-E-L, at gci.net. Thanks again so much.
Thank you, Shelley.